Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Welcome, everybody, to Beyond Episode 472. I'm Max Scoville. This is Brian Altano.
Brah, brah.
This is Marty Sliva.
Ooh.
And this is Jared Petty in his last episode ever.
Boo!
Boo! How dare you?
I'm sad.
It's very sad. We're going to get to that in a second. We've got a great show lined up. We're going to be talking about ukulele.
Ooh.
About bears.
Yes.
About For Honor and its For Always Online internet connection. Video game movies and a bunch of other cool stuff. But first, a brief message from our sponsor, Naomi. If you please.
Thanks, Max. And this holiday season, World of Tanks and IGN is bringing you a special giveaway. You'll have a chance to win a PlayStation 4 and some World of Tanks goodies. To enter, head to this super festive link, go to ign.com/beyondgiveaway. All one word. And if you want to try World of Tanks, it's completely free to download for PS4, Xbox One, and Xbox 360. So come celebrate the holidays with IGN and World of Tanks. Warm wishes to you all. Back to you guys.
Thank you, Naomi. All right, let's get into the show.
So, Jared,
you're
leaving. This is your last week at IGN.
Yeah, I'm real sad about it. I'm trying not to cry right now, and I'm not having a lot of luck. But yeah, I am leaving IGN and going to Electronic Arts, starting at the, I'll be stepping out of here at the end of this week and starting there in the new year.
Electronic Arts
wild. They've had this for a while.
Can you talk about what you're going to be doing at all?
I'm going to be, my title is Social Content Editor, and that's all I can say at this point.
Okay.
Socialist?
I am a socialist, so I am also the socialist content editor, but that's not my official capacity for work there.
You're
going to
be an incontinent socialist editor. That sounds like
can
a good
time. Can I ask you a question? I don't know if you can answer this legally, but are you going to be working with Jonathan Madden?
not to my knowledge.
Footballer?
I do love a good football, but to my knowledge, I will not be working with Mr. Madden, nor riding to the Through the Horse trailer or any of those other things.
Because I had a really good idea of what to do with John Madden. John Madden's afraid of airplanes, so what if you got him on a bus, but it was secretly an airplane he didn't know? And you're like, hey, we're going to drive to the event now, and all of a sudden the windows went down and there were wings and you took off in the sky, and you're like, see, it's not that bad.
You've just described an episode of Inspector Gadget.
Can we talk about the gas leak real quick?
That's probably worth bringing up. We were a little bit late on the show today because there were men on the roof of IGN's offices and they spilled gasoline all over the roof and it got into the vents and there was a bunch of gasoline smells inside of our studio where we do the show. And Pablo, our facilities guy, had to go up there and he was like, hey, what's going on with you? Why'd you get gasoline all over the roof? And they were like, what's the big deal? And anyway, got some fumes in here with us, so it's special guests.
They sent us in as like the canaries in the coal mine. And,
This is strangely like the second weirdest IGN roof story I've had since I worked here. The first being the day that episode 7 came out. I was here at like 5 in the morning.
Beyond episode 7?
Star Wars episode 7. Sorry. So when Force Awakens is the day it's coming out, I'm sitting here. It's about 5 in the morning. I'm at my desk. It's really quiet. And there are dudes working on the roof doing construction. You can hear them walking around up there. And they're walking back and forth, and it's about 5:30, and I'm typing, and suddenly through the roof one of the construction workers just screams, Star Wars! And then it gets real quiet again.
All right.
And that's it. And they go back to work, and that was it. I have no idea what the concept
was. What were you doing at work at 5 in the morning?
It was this time of year and I was working on guides.
All right. Checked that's an IGN memory of yours. What do you have any other fond ones? You've been here for how long? How long have you been doing this?
I've been here about 3.5 years. I was on Beyond back when Greg and Colin
before I ran the show.
Back before you were in the show when they still had cool things like, you know, that Roper Report, for example.
And Roper's Report?
Now we talk about Roper's Report.
Now we just have Roper's Report.
Yeah, pre-News Ghost, they had the rotating third chair. But I came on. Greg called me the Wiki Wonder Kid. even though I was like 10 years older than him. That was funny. And they were very sweet and had me on a few times. And then gradually I've just kind of been kind of a professional guest star on IGN podcasts every now and then and pop from show to show.
Absolutely.
And said hi, because you guys are fun and let me come nerd out. And I lack the stability to be a true host, but I have plenty to offer in the nerd out and talk and babble like this.
I lack the ability to be a true host, says man who launched very successful Patreon and is true host of his own show.
That's true. The last thing that was meant to sound was snotty. It was more. Yeah. I was trying to sound self-disparaging, but I think I messed it up.
No, you just sounded like a liar.
No, you're doing really good.
Yeah, I think I messed it up.
You're going to keep doing that show, right? That
other show you do? Yeah, Pockets Full of Soup.
The other show that you can plug now without getting fired?
Yeah, let's plug that. Pockets Full of Soup is a podcast I do / show, and I hope everyone will come to patreon.com/JaredPetty.
If you get in trouble, blame the gas leak.
Yeah.
But yeah, I get to keep doing that. Electronic Arts is graciously allowed
me to do that. That's great, Jared. Can we talk about some goddamn PlayStation?
Yeah.
All right, so let's
spend 15 minutes, and if we don't order food or start talking about PlayStation, we're getting in trouble.
Let's get things started. This is a real big story.
Hey, it is.
Yeah, Yooka-Laylee has a release date.
Yes. That's right.
It's April 11th.
Which is awesome. Yep. Marty and I just played this at PSX. It's a really good time. Yep. I didn't feel like it needed like a ton of polish or anything. I mean, some little camera torques and stuff like that. But this is actually sort of a record for Kickstarter games. Because usually when you back a game on Kickstarter, it either never comes out, they take your money and start an island, or it comes out and it's bad, but it's like years later, right? Yeah. So this is actually...
Or you get Broken Age.
Or you get Broken Age, yeah. But this, in terms of like actual, like to the moment this got funded to the moment it's actually coming out is a pretty short release window. So
They've been super open with development and always sharing things. They had that the toy box that you could play around in, where you could just sort of like play around and play with the physics, the controls, and everything. And yeah, this is coming out in 4 months or so, 3 months, which is super exciting.
I like to make fun of Banjo to make Marty sad, but I can't wait to play this. This looks like a really, really fun game.
Yeah, it's a good time. And you know, the Shovel Knight's in it. Isn't there that Trouser snake in there?
Yeah, there's a snake whose name's Trouser.
Yeah. Yep. That's a clever bit of humor there.
Yeah, I like that.
Talking about the dingus.
So they canceled the Wii U version, which
And they're putting it on Switch, which I think we're going to get a lot of going forward.
I mean, I feel like anybody who's working on a Wii U game in the last year and a half, which weren't many, if you look at literally anything. I love that system, but I mean, it did not die a good death. Like I feel like. Not to get into it real quick, but the difference between like Sony and Nintendo systems is that Sony systems, like, they don't have their last year and a half are rarely on life support.
Yeah.
Even the Vita, which were like we've been declaring dead for the last 2 years, got like 7 mentions at PSX. There are a bunch of games on the show floor.
Like PS3's like swan song were like GTA 5 and The Last of Us. PS2 had God of War 2 and Kingdom Hearts 2 and Okami.
Well, yeah, Nintendo, I mean, PS2 Nintendo and PS3. Even their successful systems, they tend to just kill.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just like, one day it's like, yeah, we've stopped making games for this now.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, like I've said it before on the show, I'm like optimistic about the Switch, but I don't really see it being a major threat to what Sony's doing right now. I mean, they just sold their 50 millionth PS4. They had the top selling system for the MPD for 2016. They had the top selling system of the month of the last month. They are riding on PSVR and the Slim and the Pro. That kind of stuff will coast them all the way into March. I mean, I could maybe see the Switch putting a dent in the first month with like that sort of like lapsed Nintendo fan type of thing. But I think Sony's going to hold down the fort and they're going to be okay for a while.
I don't think Nintendo is positioning the Switch as a threat to the PS4.
I don't think so either.
I don't think that they are even trying. I think they're trying to create something cheap enough that you'll buy this as well.
Yeah. Well, that's they've positioned themselves for a while as sort of being that secondary console.
Well, that's what, since the Wii.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. Yeah.
All right. So you mentioned Banjo-Kazooie there. That's a game about a bear.
Yeah.
Tekken 7 is another game that has not one but two bears, unless you don't consider panda bears, in which case there is only one bear in it.
Also, real talk, you know it's a slow week because we're talking about Tekken.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like Tekken because it's got a bunch of animals in it. I like that they were just kind of like, they're like, all right, we could have like another dude with weird hair or we could just get a cool animal in there.
A kangaroo? Right.
Put a little dinosaur.
That dude made out of logs. Like, what the hell?
Log man. Yeah. The bear, which in his name is Kuma, which is Japanese for bear.
Pretty good.
That's kind of fun. That's kind of like Kairu in Chrono Trigger. It's like frog. His name is Frog. Yes. I love that.
I like that. So let's use this as an opportunity to talk about bears, nature's animals. What's your favorite video game bear? Marty, go.
Mine is Banjo because he has a backpack and he has a friend who's a bird and they might have sex. I don't know.
I don't think so.
Okay. I don't think birds and bears can have sex, really, but...
I think they have complimentary bits.
I bet you an ostrich could do that.
I thought just Kazooie was swinging a different direction with that one.
All right.
Oh, I can't
speak to that. Kazooie's a woman.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and so she's a woman. Oh, okay.
Huh,
yeah.
Interesting. What about you, Brian? What's your favorite?
I really like the bears in Tomb Raider, like the new one, because you can fight them. I think they just did an amazing job of making you feel like they're terrifying. Like, when you're, like, in a cave and a bear shows up, that's a threat. That's a big problem. Yeah. I think bears should be threatening in games. I think a lot of times they're very soft and they're lovable and they have pants and or overalls or whatever. That's ridiculous. Yep. Bears should be scary.
Like, what about Winnie the Pooh?
That man doesn't even wear pants.
When he gets his ass stuck in that tree and they draw a face on it, it's terrifying.
He had to get Christopher Robin to Fulton him.
Yeah.
They put on some active camo.
They did Fulton Winnie the Pooh. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your favorite bear, Max?
I really like the specific bear in Far Cry 3 that I set on fire and then he ran into a camp and set everyone else on fire.
Those are great.
Yeah,
Ubisoft's good at bears.
Yeah. They do some good jobs with the bears in there.
My favorite bear, I think, would be Bentley Bear from Crystal Castles.
That's a good bear.
Wonderful arcade game. He wears a magic hat.
Wait, hold up. I want to change my answer. I want to say Sticky Bear of Sticky Bear Basket Bounce fame and Sticky Bear Teaches Math or whatever the hell it's called.
Wow. Perfect.
Yeah, I'm really glad.
Bears and gaming.
If we had this discussion 3 years ago, Naughty Bear would have been brought up.
I'm glad
that era's past us.
Kids, if you can ever find it's done?
If
you can ever find a Crystal Castles like arcade machine with a trackball, that game's great. But you have to have a trackball to play it right. It's not correct.
Yeah, I feel like you made up the game Crystal Castles in this whole oil spill.
Oh, no, you played that, right?
In the Exxon Valdez.
It is a band.
That game's amazing. Like, it's one of the first video games with warp zones, and it has all kinds of great hidden secrets in it. Really early example of that kind of stuff.
All right.
Beautiful.
Yeah. You know, so, without you here, no one's ever going to mention Crystal Castles.
Max and I did a Let's Play of Crystal Castles on PS4. You can play Crystal Castles on your PS4. There's an Atari collection that just launched.
Oh, yeah.
Is it that weird 2600 version, though?
It's both.
Okay, so the 2600 version is at least playable with a joystick. Like, I kind of like that weird version, but the arcade game's just so beautiful. And it's really happy little music and neat 3D effects that are – it's a neat game.
Hey, speaking of 3D, a game that has that is For Honor, which also has to be online always, even on single player. Why is this a thing?
Yeah, this is really annoying. We got two drops of games I was looking forward to that always have to be online with. I mean, we don't need to dwell on Nintendo anymore, but Super Mario Run has to always be online.
That pissed me off.
And then For Honor, even for the single player, which is kind of silly. And it's like it's not a huge problem for us who live in the Bay Area, but like I still know a lot of people who live in random places in the Midwest where they don't have the greatest internet.
The first thing I always think of in scenarios like this is the military. It's people overseas who are in places where they can connect to the internet, like kind of occasionally.
And
that sucks because it's like that's what they have to entertain themselves between horrible moments of life. It's like, maybe make this like design something so it works for everyone. Now, I don't design video games. I don't make video games. I don't know how
things work. Did they explain this at all? Were they like, it's because we've got cloud learning samurais in it or whatever? Mm-hmm. Or was it like, it's just. That's how the game is?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of going forward there's a lot of Ubisoft games that have that online functionality, but like you're able to play Watch Dogs not online, and you just can't access the online parts.
This game about like Pangea fighting itself.
Yeah. You can play Watch Dogs offline, you can play Dark Souls offline, people make it work. I think it's, anytime, make your game good for the players.
Yeah, I wrote the entire Dark Souls 1 guide on a debug copy that couldn't get online.
Yeah.
And so I played that game for like 300 hours before I put it online, and then I played it online for an hour, and I'm like, ooh, this is way different. I wasted a lot of time on
this. Rogue One's Ben Mendelsohn read that guide?
Ben,
can we tell that story real quick?
Yeah, Ben Mendelsohn, who plays a Batman in Rogue One, right?
Yeah.
He's the Batman.
Admiral Batman.
Guy with the big cape. Yeah. That's not Darth Vader.
He's director Kevin.
Yeah, but when interviewed by IGN, he said that he was familiar with IGN because he's a big fan of Dark Souls and he had a hard time getting through it, and so you need to look at the guide.
Yep. Weird. So did he use the Marty Sleva guide? Did he use the Jared Petty Dark Souls 2 guide? Or I'm guessing he used the Brendan Graber Dark Souls 3 guide.
No, it must have been mine.
Definitely.
There's no way he would have gone to your trash guide.
Okay. Well, to be fair, mine's definitely the weakest of them all.
No, man, mine doesn't even have video.
Really?
Mine has screenshots.
Okay, well, there's that.
All right, so man, there's like, oh, there's really not a ton of.
No, we got good questions.
We got stuff to talk about. Yeah, we'll get there. I'm just killing time by complaining. See, that's all a good trick.
About the killing time by complaining.
Yeah, that's why they always do those sports broadcasts where they're like, oh yeah, he's got to stretch his legs a bunch and get out there and on the field.
Just
anyway,
keep being like happy like this. So I
video
don't cry.
Game movies. Mark Wahlberg will not be playing Nathan Drake in the Uncharted movie. Good. I don't know how many of us thought he still was, because that thing is getting kicked around left and right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We did kind of a deep dive on that on Up at Noon and just went back through basically every single news update.
I forget the headline of that. People should look that up. It was a really good video.
Yeah.
They probably got a lot of downvotes because Max and I were in it.
Who do you cast as Nathan Drake?
I don't.
You don't?
It's missing the point.
Yeah.
Nolan North in video games. Okay. You know? Yeah. Like, it's totally like, I don't want to see a movie of that. I want to see, like, give me something
else. A movie of a game of a movie.
This thing has been passed around to so many hands. Like, David O. Russell did I Heart Huckabees and Three Kings was originally attached, and then you had Seth Rogen attached to it.
They're making a funny Uncharted.
Yeah, now Joe Carnahan, who wrote Smokin' Aces, supposedly wrote the screenplay. Yeah.
I tend to feel the same way about a lot of video game movies. That, like, the other day I was in a game store and I found a copy of Godzilla the Animated Series, the game. Godzilla, the animated series, the game.
What console was that on?
Yeah, that was on Game Boy.
Wow.
So I found this the other day, and I'd never heard of it before then. And
that was like the 90s.
But it kind of made me think, like, a lot of video game movies are the same thing. It's turned around.
Yeah.
It's like, here's this thing that we love that's well-developed, that's designed for a specific medium, and now we're converting it into something else. And for whatever reason, man, trying to hit all those touchstones and get it through the Hollywood production process and cast it just doesn't work out very often. The only really good video game movies are the ones that aren't about specific video game properties. You have Wreck-It Ralph. That's a great movie. You have Scott Pilgrim versus the World. That's a great movie. Mm-hmm. Neither of those is about – it's not an adaptation of a specific video game. It's something they made up for the movie.
Shut up, son.
Paul
not
W.S.
Talking
Anderson's
about Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat, while it has a certain charm to it, is not a good motion picture. You have good documentaries, Indie Game, the movie, King of Kong. Those are wonderful. Mm-hmm. But again, those are about the process of development. They're about the people. They're not about adapting one story to a screen that maybe doesn't belong on a big screen. I don't know. I think you can do it, but I don't think it's been done yet.
I would put it in the same category as taking a movie and turning it into a radio drama, which can be done. I mean, there's a Star Wars radio drama, but it's also like you're removing an entire dimension. Like, people like video games because they're interactive, not because they're great stories.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes they are, but
I think it also reveals a lot of times that video games are things that we love because they're interactive, and you can write a sort of simpler story in spite of that, basically, where you can be like, oh, this is kind of a weak premise for a film, but as a video game, it works because you're playing through it and you can ignore, like, you'll play a lot of games that have a bad story or a weak story and ignore them if the gameplay is fun, right? Mm-hmm. But that doesn't really happen with movies. Like, you need all of those things to be working at the same time. Mm-hmm. I know some people are like, oh, I watched that movie, it's just popcorn, junk, like, garbage, summertime, it's hot and my brain's dumb, like, that kind of thing. I hear a lot of excuses for bad movies, and that's fine. I've given them myself.
I really like eating popcorn in dark rooms.
In the heat. Just give me some dumb stuff.
Here's my theory is that, like, you know, occasionally crappy movies make really good video games. Like, Chronicles of Riddick comes to mind.
Yeah, yeah.
So what if, like, there's a really crappy video game out there that would make a great movie?
Yeah, I mean, honestly. And we keep looking for that white whale, and we thought this year I was like, Warcraft's going to be good because Duncan Jones. Nope. And I was like, Ratchet & Clank's going to be good. Nope. And, like, from what we've heard about Assassin's Creed, 80% of it takes place outside the Animus. And I'm like,
good.
And then you're like, well, next year, Tomb Raider's going to have Alicia Vikander and Walton Goggins. I'm like, that sounds great.
Yeah, I'm going to make a promise real quick, because I have to apologize to the audience. I swear I started this year and last year and probably the year before doing a bunch of videos about, like, oh, is this the great year for video game movies? It's not. It wasn't. Yeah. It won't be. So next year, I'm not doing any of that. Next year, I'm just going to be like, there's a bunch of video game movies out this year. Pause. Anyway, thanks for watching.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to editorialize it. I'm not going to be like, this year, Max and I did, like, so many rundowns. I'm up at noon being like, Assassin's Creed, watch all this other crap. Yeah. And it's like, none of this actually comes out to be good.
It's a Firewatch movie. That could be good.
Yeah.
It could. It might also suck. I maintain that the best format for video game movies is based on fighting games, because you've got a bunch of characters there who don't have a set. Like, there are kind of, like, set relationships in, like, Street Fighter, and they've got a few movies of that, and they haven't been fantastic, but they have been fun. But the same with, like, any of those. You basically have this cast of characters and the idea that some are good and some are bad and some are kind of ambiguous, but you can kind of just use them like action figures or puppets, and you're like, some of them fight each other. And
the martial arts movies kind of a lot of times fit that formula anyway. If you look at something like Enter the Dragon, I mean, Mortal Kombat is just a giant Enter the Dragon ripoff anyway, so why not do it that way? And again, it has worked the other way. I mean, people have taken some of the most beloved movies ever made and have made great video games out of some of those franchises. But I don't know what the missing ingredient is.
I think that they should just add Capcom characters to the MCU. Like, put Mega Man in there and the man in underpants from Ghouls and Ghosts.
Arthur.
Put them, have them fight Thanos. That'd be great. Then we have a Marvel vs. Capcom movie.
I'd love that.
I'd be really okay with that. I was watching Blade for some reason again.
The first one.
I was like, man, I want to see Blade fight Thanos. Like Wesley Snipes Blade. I want that to happen.
Some mother effers are always trying to ice skate uphill.
They are. Yeah. That's a fabulous one. Also, Stephen Dorff, really, really engaging.
You know, that was my answering machine message in college, and my grandmother called me once, and she was like, Brian, what's that all about?
That was your answering machine message was Wesley Snipes and Blade.
Yeah, saying that line. It's a good line. I mean, it's Stephen the Dorfman.
It's a good line, but wow.
I didn't have a lot going on.
That reveals a lot about you.
Just me and my PS2 and my GameCube and that answering machine message.
You come far, Brian.
$5 a day for beer.
We're back to the gas fumes.
Right there. Here we are.
All right.
Thanks for watching.
You got a note in here, Jared. I'm assuming everyone should read Nightmares, the Bishop of Battle with Emilio Estevez.
Does it say read?
What? Watch Nightmares.
Okay.
The book's a watch read.
So The Bishop of Battle there's this old movie called Nightmares, and The Bishop of Battle is this video game themed segment. It's like one of those, what do they call it? Anthology films.
Right.
Tales
from the Hood.
Yeah, exactly. And you've got all these little vignettes. One of them is called The Bishop of Battle, and it's about an evil video game machine, and it stars Emilio Estevez, and it's terrible, and everyone should see it.
What about that part in Maximum Overdrive when the video games hypnotize that man, and he just goes like, your mama, and then it electrocutes him.
Mm-hmm. Well, everything about that movie is spectacular.
What about that Frankie Muniz movie where if you die in the game, you die in real life?
Stay Alive.
Yeah, Stay Alive.
Stay Alive, yeah. Stay Alive.
My dog Skip.
Yeah. Anyway, the end of the... The year 2016 is rolling to a close, as it tends to do through the passage of time and the fact that we are on a large orb spinning through infinite, endless nothingness in front of a large burning orb that is also on fire. Anyway, there are a bunch of games that came out this year. Did you play all of them, fellows?
Yeah, we did it.
No, we did not play them all.
Actually, this is the first year I played all 63,000 games that were released.
No, I figured there's a lot of games that always kind of like, you know, the cream of the crop, the stuff that we're talking about for Game of the Year consideration.
Yeah.
It's kind of a rarity that someone gets a chance to really play everything.
Yeah.
So I wanted to go around and ask you guys what you feel like you missed out on, what you want to catch up. Like, what's your 2016 backlog?
Also, kind of the secret of working at IGN is we don't get to play games 9 hours a day. Oh, we are lucky if we play games at all a day. It's a lot of meetings and handshakes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do like rigorous handshakes.
Yes.
We do a rigorous handshake.
Yeah, it's very good.
Firm ones.
The ones that I'm looking forward to, the big ones playing over break, especially since they're nominated for a lot of our Game of the Year things, are Dishonored 2 and Stardew Valley.
Yeah.
Stardew Valley just came out on PS4, and I'm super excited.
I was reading some
that.
Sort of anecdotal early stuff that might be a little glitchy on PS4 right now.
Oh.
Yeah, so Jonathan Dornbush, who's been on the show, was playing it at his desk, and it's you use the analog stick still as a mouse. There's a mouse in the game.
Weird.
It's sort of like closed menus. You like go over and like, whoa.
I think, but it's also like people are having a hard time progressing from day 3 to day 4. Your character just goes into an endless slumber, so that's not good.
I mean, that's life.
Oh, my. Yeah.
They've been in a gasoline-filled studio. And
that's true. Yeah. But yeah, I was really looking forward to that game.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started reading up on it, and I was like, wait a minute, maybe I should just play this on PC because like it seems like a game that's designed around a mouse.
And literally any PC could run this game, probably.
Yeah, totally.
I'm stoked about that. And Dishonored 2, that's the one that...
Actually the big one that I kind of skipped out on. I was really actually keen on starting Final Fantasy 15,
mm-hmm.
Even though it's not really been my jam in the past, but I loved the Final Fantasy games growing up.
Yeah.
Everything I've seen about this game looks really cool. The art direction's gorgeous, and the characters and the way they interact is fun. Plus, I love a good plate of food.
That game is a disaster piece. Like, it's
really
wonderful. Huh. Like, it is.
Where's
it
the disaster part?
Well, the disaster is that it's this kind of meshed together, like, you can see the staples, like, that are holding everything together, but everything it's holding together is just so wonderful that you don't care.
Right.
It is a rough around the edges, unbalanced, thoroughly unpolished, weird mess, and it's so much fun. Okay. Just a delightful. It is just such a video game.
Yeah, that's kind of what it looks like. I spent most of this weekend watching my fiance Jen play this game. Like I got it for her. She's she grew up with Final Fantasy and JRPGs, mm-hmm. and she's a big old weeaboo, and she just loves playing this pretty anime hair boy game. And I can't remember the last time that I was this entertained watching somebody else play a game, mm-hmm. but I was just like sitting on the couch and just like staring at her kill these ugly scorpion dog things and have these boys like throw shade at each other and drive around in a car and even, one of them takes bad pictures. And I'm like, this is so bizarre. And they make little sandwiches and stuff.
Yeah, even the in-game advertising is delightful. Like mm-hmm. they have this cup noodles quest where you're going to make like a, it's like, I sure could go for a delicious cup noodles. Cup noodles are delicious and they make me happy in my tummy. Anytime I have them, I have memories of that. Like, but they just play it up so much, and you get to the question, it's like, which ingredient would you like, which one satisfies your hunger? But they just keep going with it till it becomes sort of like the Wayne's World thing where they're handing the chips over. But there's an individual quest for each ingredient. That's like awesome. You can choose. They didn't just shoehorn it in. They went to a lot of trouble to make this talk. and the dialogue is so on the nose that eventually you start laughing. And it's well done. It's very thoughtful and intentional. And it was like, well, we wanted in-game advertising for this game, but we're going to find a way to make it really amusing for you.
Yeah. There's also a wonderful dog in the game.
Oh, good. There's a good dog.
There's a bunch of like little indie games I kind of feel like I missed out on. And there's always that bizarre thing where you're tracking stuff that gets first released on PC. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh, I'll wait for that on PSN or whatever. And I sometimes stuff falls through the cracks with that, or if it came out on Xbox first or whatever it is. But Oxenfree I want to check out, and Abzu, which I know is going to be like a lovely afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, I really like that game.
I need to just get my feet wet in Last Guardian. And I feel like I really missed out on Overwatch. I think I was like traveling the weekend it came out or something. Yeah. Everyone had that sort of like honeymoon phase with it, and a lot of people stuck around, obviously. I like the characters a fair amount. I think it's kind of just, I kind of want to get some of the jokes that I see all over my like Twitter feed, but I don't know. I'm just curious to see what that's like, just jump in there and screw around for a bit.
Mm-hmm. For me, Last Guardian, which I desperately want to get through and complete. That's exciting. I want to go back to Odinsphere. We had that wonderful Vita remaster of that, mm-hmm. and I'd really like to dive back into Odinsphere, mm-hmm. which is a marvelous video game, mm-hmm. and gets a great treatment with that version of it. And then I'm going to go back and play more PSVR, because I played it a lot for work for the launch, and then we moved on to other guide season stuff, and I just did not have time to go back. But
what have you played?
Most of what I played was I spent most time with Super Hypercube and Rez. I played around with a lot of the games. But
have you tried Arkham VR?
Arkham VR, yes, I tried it. I thought it was interesting.
It's like an hour and 10 minutes to finish that thing. So
I was like, this is like in terms of that one felt like a very well done proof of concept.
To me, it's sort of like once you kind of lock into like the hum that it's doing, and that you realize it's never really going to turn into a full-fledged Arkham game, you're kind of like, oh, this is like a fun little detective simulator that occasionally lets me be Batman in a mirror, which is super creepy.
It is, but it's neat. Yeah. It looks great. But I want to go back through the entire catalog and dig through, maybe the half dozen most recommended games and play through all of those.
Yeah, we should talk about that.
Yeah, because you really love that. You have a segment on this very show.
I do.
This podcast, as it were.
I do, yeah. We didn't write it in this week, but... we can talk about that.
Right. I'm realizing that I kind of just want to hold off on playing any more PSVR games until I have one of my own. So it's like I have this, like they're small experiences.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like I just want to scrub through all the stuff that I've heard you mention and be like, oh, Brian like that, and just, jump on it. So on that note, we got a great email. Justin McConnell wrote in. First of all, if you're watching this as a standalone clip on IGN, check out the full episode on youtube.com/IGNBeyond. Anyway, Justin McConnell wrote in, says, as a father of human sponges, I find it hard to play most modern non-Nintendo games in my living room due to language or over-the-top violence. Just last year, I was playing through Firewatch for the first time, or just last night, and I got to hear my three-year-old repeat some of Delilah's colorful dialogue to my wife. My kids like to spend time with me while I play games or play with me, but the only PS4 games I really ever feel safe playing with them are things like Ratchet and Clank or Rocket League. Do you think that Sony is missing out by not offering more big family-friendly first-party developed games? Obviously, the holidays are a time for spending time with family, whether that means having annoying little cousins running around and being like, what are you playing? I want to watch. Or having old people walking by the TV and being shocked when you're shooting somebody in the face. Maybe if this is a time, if you're gaming around other people of different ages and walks of life, that we could talk about some of the stuff that's more inclusive for everybody.
Yeah.
Obviously,
where do we insert the Knack 2 joke? I just want to know.
That's actually the...
I mean, Knack is honestly something I bet if you played around a kid, I bet a kid would like the first Knack.
Yeah, actually, I think Seth Macy told me that his kids really enjoy Knack. He freelances for IGN a lot of the time.
What's up, Seth?
Yeah. What's up? So the thing is, I think there are better games that the children could be playing.
First things first, Ratchet & Clank is a fantastic, fun for all ages game. That's like playing a... I mean, it's weird because they did make a big cartoon movie of it, and the game was still kind of a better cartoon movie.
Yeah, it does that Pixar thing where like there are jokes that you're going to laugh at that are going to be totally fine for your kids to hear, even though they don't understand the you know, double entendre.
Yeah. Lego anything.
Mm-hmm.
They've got, at this point, they're kind of going through the roster of just games that are things that kids like. I love the Marvel superheroes one. Yeah, Star Wars ones are fantastic.
Harry Potter. Lego City Undercover is coming to PS4, and that's awesome. Also, I played, I'll talk about this real quick. I played Lego Worlds at PSX. That game is awesome.
Yeah.
It's coming to consoles. It's been on PC for a little while. It's basically an open world Minecraft style building game, but with a health bar. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of like mess around with it and play it sort of like single player-y, or you can play 4-player couch co-op. You can import people's brick by brick creations into your own game.
That's
so somebody can make like a house or like the Millennium Falcon and just drop it in there. You can get a gun that shoots horses.
I don't mean
kills them. I mean it like shoots actual horses out.
Horses
of the
come out of the gun.
What noise does it make when they shoot out? Is it like a foomp? Or is it like a...
It's more like a foomp and less like
not like a nay or anything like that.
Nothing like that.
Well,
it's really cool.
Oh, you're on the Minecrafty type stuff. Dragon Quest Builders.
Totally.
That's a delightful game that I don't think a lot of people played.
Yeah.
And that's a shame.
Also, while you're on the Minecraft stuff, Minecraft.
Also, Terraria, which is like 2D Minecraft. Mm-hmm. I wanted to give a shout out to Disney Infinity, which I think kind of gets the short end of the stick. That's kind of dead.
Which means it's crazy cheap to get those.
It is stupid cheap. If you've got kids and you've got a PS4 or a PS3, or really, I think it's on pretty much every platform.
Yeah.
Check Amazon for that, because you can get like a version 2.0 starter kit for like $10, and that includes like, I don't know, a Brave figurine, and there's like a Marvel Superheroes one for $20. Yeah. So if you're like, you know, gift giving for younger gamers, that's a really awesome choice.
Also, I was at Disneyland recently, and they have the saddest little Disney Infinity corner now. They're all off segregated off on their own in a sad little clearance corner.
Well, the good thing is like if your kids are like the obsessive collector types, this is a great game for them, because there's a finite amount of those figures out there, and they're all dirt cheap.
Yep.
If they get into Skylanders, you're screwed.
Well, until they pull the plug on Skylanders.
But Skylanders, like, also, even like Skylanders year by year is still like a super solid game. Alana always reviews them for us. She really liked Imaginators. I think that was this year.
Imaginators lets you customize your own Skylanders.
And they're like actual good Diablo games.
Yeah, Disney Infinity, I think it's really easy to look at that and be like, oh, this is a dumb game for kids. This is shovelware, whatever. It's totally not. It was developed by like Ninja Theory, who did Devil May Cry. They did the sword mechanics for the prequel Star Wars stuff. And then the guys who did Sleeping Dogs did this kind of like Marvel superhero Super Smash Brothers type thing. And I think the only thing that doesn't work on that is sort of the online functionality with like sandbox mode. But it makes me wish I had kids so I could like, you know, play it with them. But I should probably just you know.
He had an excuse to buy more Star Wars.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
One of these days.
Skylanders, obviously, Little Big Planet and Tearaway are both wonderful.
Yeah, Tearaway.
What is it? What's it called? Like the Tearaway?
Unfolded.
Like, Unfolded. Big Picture Edition or whatever. Minecraft Terraria, we talked about that. Towerfall is like kind of like an 8-bit Smash Bros. Type thing.
Yeah, Towerfall is one of the best games on PlayStation 4 still. The Ouya's entire existence was justified by Towerfall. Ouya.
What's happening?
You remember the Ouya?
Yeah, you're just saying it like a weird dude.
Ouya.
How are you supposed to say Ouya?
Not like Francis.
Why was that your
hang up
and not the fact that he says that its existence was justified by one game?
And that was Towerfall, which
was the one I was taking the problem.
What about that frog game?
There was that frog
insert
game.
Knack 2 joke here. There's the Knack 2 joke.
Okay, there we go.
We mentioned it, Stardew Valley.
Yeah, that's a great one to play with your kids around.
Someone just wrote sports.
Yeah, well, I put that in there. Because sports games are another thing you can play often with your kids. And if not, the question in his original letter is, hey, what can I play with my kids around?
Yeah.
Well, sports games are inherently G-rated, and a lot of them are really fun.
What are you talking about? Those men all use drugs and get in trouble.
Remember that one NFL game? Remember the NFL game that came out where like people would take drugs?
Yeah.
They had like a story about it. It wasn't NFL licensed. But,
I think I remember this. Yeah, it wasn't I remember this game.
Bad boys.
Windjammers. That's coming up soon. That's a frisbee game.
That is the frisbee game.
Okay.
That game is so good. That is the greatest event to come out of PSX was the announcement of Windjammers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Move over Last of Us Part 2.
I would rather play Windjammers than The Last of Us any day of the week.
What?
The game's in.
Well, you can't.
Hey, do me a favor and quit your job.
All right. Fighting games, question mark. Obviously, Mortal Kombat has people's spines getting ripped out, so maybe skip that one. But something like Marvel vs. Capcom or Street Fighter V.
Yeah, I think that's
pretty,
okay.
They're pretty vanilla. It's kind of like just playing Dragon Ball Z. So
yeah, and A Boy and His Blob was in there, too. It's, yeah. That's a great PS4. That's on PS4 now. Mm-hmm. And that's a wonderful game to play with your kids.
Yeah.
There's Rez. Unless your children are frightened by colors and polygons, that's probably
Rez is a game about conception.
Yeah.
You're a little sperm trying to get to an egg.
It is about that. That's
just a heads up, though. PSVR is not meant for people under 12.
Yeah.
So be careful with that.
Can you play that offline?
Yeah, play that.
But what's the point? It's awesome in VR. If you're 12 and you're listening to this, sneak downstairs and put on daddy's VR helmet and go blind. It's so cool.
Am I allowed to say Battlefront is on there? Battlefront, what is that? Is that T-rated?
Yeah,
is it M-rated or is it?
Yeah, I don't know about that, man. That's the game about running around shooting people.
Yeah, it's still a first person.
Technically, Uncharted's T-rated too.
Yeah,
Final Fantasy XV's language is very mild and violence generally isn't too nasty, though it can be scary. It's also an incredibly dense, systems heavy RPG, and I was, playing Final Fantasy VI with friends when I was in fourth grade, so maybe that's a thing. But you also put on subtitles, and if your kids don't speak Japanese, they don't know what's going on.
Oh, what's
that? Hey, there we go.
Yeah. I put the section for artsy-fartsy but generally G-rated games such as Journey, which is about scarf people who don't stab anything.
Or Flower or Flow.
Yeah, there are those two. There's The Witness, which is very difficult, but, beautiful and quiet and peaceful and all that. Proteus is one of my favorites. It's not really a game. It's kind of a weird, psychedelic thing, but you could probably put that in the hands of a three-year-old and see what they do. You just walk around and look for an owl.
Yep.
And there's Abzu, which is what happens if Scarf Boy from Journey went under the sea. The Witness again, because clearly we're having a great productive day here at IGN.com. The Last Guardian?
How old's a kid?
I don't know. There's no actual child here. I'm just saying, like, hypothetically.
Well, again, the idea is you're playing it with them in the room. His original question wasn't just, what can I play with my kid? Okay. It's, what can I play with my kid in
the
room?
If you can handle that horse dying in the never-ending story.
They beat the hell out of that poor dog.
If you can handle that horse dying in the never-ending story, then you can handle that.
Yeah, I mean,
That's that whole, like, logic of, like, oh, are we talking about, like, what's safe for kids in 2016 or what was safe for kids when we were kids?
Because
we also had, like, the kids in the Goonies saying, like, stuff that you will get fired for.
But that horse drowned because he was so sad, and that was the worst. Like,
no, he drowned because there was mud.
He lost hope. He lost hope, and then he sank.
Okay. Also, it was German filmmakers, and those days are crazy.
Yeah, they let the kids have wine over there. That's crazy. This is America. Give that child a small rifle and no health care. Anyway, I also put difficult but simple. Broken Age, probably kind of dense, but super colorful. And
honestly, any Double Fine adventure game, like Grim Fandango, Data Tentacle.
And Spelunky, which is like, I would say the closest thing to like Super Mario World you get on PSN.
Yeah. What blood there is all kind of cartoonish and funny.
It's cute. And then there's Shovel Knight, which is the shovels.
And we're getting more stuff next year with the Crash Collection and like Parappa.
I was going to say there's a bunch of like PS1 and PS2 classics you can get to like that were remastered or something and ported and stuff. Like even stuff like Ape Escape is on there.
There's some wonderful stuff.
Dig around like some classic games. And that's like cool thing too is like, I'm not going to tell you how to be a dad or a mom or whatever, but if you have a kid and you want to be like, this is what I used to play growing up, like give it a shot. I think that's really cool to sort of introduce somebody into something that they probably wouldn't have found anyway.
Another secret benefit of Shovel Knight, which was the last one we got to it before to the classics, was that you have all the cheat codes. You can do cool things for your kid, like make him gigantic or make him invincible let him, and that's cool too. So you can play around and just change the game up constantly.
That's also a good way to teach a kid about games, retro games you might have grown up on without like breaking out old hardware or making them put up with something that's really old and obtuse, because that is an awesome just sort of like mixtape of just cool ideas that we grew up with in the 80s and 90s. I love Shovel Knight.
Shovel Knight is one of the best video games to be released like while I worked here.
And the last incredible one I want to talk about, in Resident Evil 7, it's about a family who makes love to the dead.
That's true.
Maybe don't play that one, but
let it die.
I think it's very easy to look at the PlayStation lineup and be like, this is not enough stuff here for kids. And like, I mean, Sony's kind of they're less big on first party stuff, I think, in general, they're not making, they got Knack 2 on the way, but they've also got, they got like, the Little Big Planet, the Sacky Boys, they got Parappa the Rappa. There's a bunch of cutesy stuff and Ratchet and Clank. We obviously listed off a bunch of stuff there.
And this is also like these are good games. This is just stuff that's good for babies. This is like an actually, you know.
Yeah, these are wonderful games. Yeah. Did you guys ever play games when you were kids that like you totally shouldn't have been playing?
Are you
like,
joking?
That you were way too.
Yeah, of course.
Like, Night Trap.
Night Trap?
Yeah, I played Night Trap at my friend's house.
Right, but like, did you find Night Trap like threatening?
I didn't know what was happening until like a year or two later. I read an article about how there was like a lot of bad stuff happening in that game.
Okay.
I mean, I was playing Duke Nukem 3D when I was like 11, maybe. I don't know.
I also played Pit Fighter as a kid, which like that game wasn't really bad, but I knew there was something weird and like it took place in like an underground like Taiwanese subterfuge where a bunch of dudes were just like getting drunk and smoking and hitting women and stuff.
The most terrifying thing about that game was the control.
Yeah, like, it was really bad.
Also, we're 472 episodes into the show, and I think that's the first time anyone said subterfuge.
That's my new thing. I'm gonna start doing that a lot in 2017.
Just saying words and hoping that they fit.
Yep.
All right.
Juxtapose.
That's definitely not my new thing.
Yeah. Onomatopoeia.
Time for rapid fire. Rapid fire is, of course, the segment of the show in which we get a bunch of questions from either our Facebook group, which is facebook.com/group/podcastbeyond, or the comments on our lovely IGN YouTube channel, or IGN Beyond YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/IGN Beyond. Luke Christian, Jack Russell Morgan, pick one.
Whoa,
says,
what a name.
Jared, what's the thing you're most grateful for from your time at IGN?
Oh, it's for me, this narcissism edition.
Yeah, there's a lot.
I kind of told the group that this was your last episode, so we tailored a lot of the questions around you, including one about snacking.
Oh, I'm really excited about that.
Fat joke. Fat joke. Doing a fat joke because I'm fat. I can do that.
What was the question again?
What's the thing you're most grateful for from your time at IGN? He has a weird comma in the middle of that.
All right. Without taking it down too long a road, I mean, that one's so easy for me. As you know, the people in the Beyond community largely know, the worst thing that's ever happened to me in my life happened outside of IGN while I was working here in the accident where my wife and I were hit by an impaired driver and everything fell apart. And at every layer and every level, from the people in this room to people that have moved on to do other things, and Greg and Colin and Tim and Nick and Kevin, to people in Unlocked, to my bosses here, to my friends here, to people I barely knew here, to the people writing some of these letters and the people in that Facebook group and folks that have moved on, good friends like Chris and Ryan. Everybody picked me up and carried me for months and months and months through that. And I have rewarded that good faith by leaving.
Thanks a lot, Sharon.
But that.
Picking you up was very difficult, by the way.
it took that many people to do it.
That was hands down transformative. I think the capstone on that was actually Beyond 400.
Yeah.
Where you guys were kind enough to have me come down for a minute and say hi to that room full of Beyond fans and sit down with you. And it felt cathartic. My wife is getting better. My life was getting better. I was starting to be a little more together mentally again. I realized that financial ruin was not immediately going to fall upon me. And I walked onto that stage and felt so welcomed and loved by so many people that I didn't really understand why they chose to be so kind. They just did. And I was surrounded by friends on stage with you guys. And I walked away from that evening a different person. I think that was the beginning of getting better. I don't know if I've ever told you that.
Uh-huh. You're a really easy dude to love because you're incredibly nice. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I understand why you're sort of still confused and sort of like a little surprised by the kindness that you've received. But it's because you've given that out tenfold. Mm-hmm. in every appearance you've made, every conversation you've had, every video I've ever been in with you, that you weird ass dude, you have been just so wonderful and sweet and kind and loving. And I'm going to miss the shit out of you.
Thank you. You can
put a cat sound over that.
Yeah. Thank you. No, like I think you're, it's not fair to a lot of other people I work with. I've met a lot of wonderful people working at IGN, but you're a very, very special guy. Mm-hmm. And it's been really cool getting to know you. And it's going to be, it's going to be a different place without you around here. You big blubbery baby.
I'm not crying. I did see there's no tears.
You gotta make me one promise.
I don't know what you've been doing today, like snowflake crafts or something, but there is actually a tiny piece of glitter on your eyeliner.
Yeah, it's on your head too. I don't want to say anything.
You putting on that frozen eyeliner I got you for Secret
glitter,
Santa?
I think there's glitter on my pillow at home because like for the last 3 or 4 days I've had glitter on my head and I've been showering regularly, so I'm not sure where it's coming from.
All right, well, but that's weird.
Keep spotting glitter. Yeah, I think there may be pillow clutter.
Well, enough of that glowing sappy garbage. Right. Kevin Adderidge says, what is one thing at IGN that Jared will not miss at all? Thanks.
My goodness.
The gasoline smell?
The gasoline smell.
Glitter mail that gets dumped on your head every day.
I really, really like working here. I think I will not miss my own desk, which I've transformed into a wasteland.
Yeah.
It's a squatter's desk. What is really that is. Over there? You pulled out an Amazon box that was full of receipts from some guy who nobody could identify from the old Brisbane office?
Yeah, from several years ago. Yeah. I don't really know what happened over there, but it's kind of become my terrifying hoarding corner.
Yeah.
I have been excavating, and it really is like archaeological strata. I mean, I keep finding like, oh, I've dug down to
Eric Estrada's brother.
Yeah, I've dug through senior editor down to associate editor, and now I'm finding like my first week here.
When you first got there?
I'm finding stuff under everything that I got like my first week.
Cracker Barrel receipt.
The Cracker Barrel receipt from working on the guide at Cracker Barrel. Yeah, that was when I was still for one up. I think, wasn't it?
Yesterday, and you gave me LucasArts company store catalog from 1999,
yeah.
And then today you came up and gave me a pair of blue blockers, so I would guess you're around 1993 at this point.
You gave me a Jar Jar Binks video game CD-ROM yesterday. That was fun.
Save some of this for White Elephant, dude.
I got my White Elephant gift. It's a good one, too.
Is it booze?
Is it partially. A mirror?
Partially?
Partially, yes. Oh, it's God. Booze plus one.
What?
I just got regular booze.
It's a combo gift, see.
I didn't realize it's right. Plus one.
Johnny Down says, what are your personal top three favorite pieces of work you've ever been a part of during your time at IGN?
Question. That's a great question.
The first one's easy. My boss, Sam Claiborne, can be a lot of fun, and he allowed me to take our we did a thing years ago. We all talked about our personal favorite games.
Not all of us.
I got canceled before.
They killed that series before I could do mine.
Yeah. Well,
I'll do it right now. Yeah. Number 100, The Lion King for Genesis.
That's not one of your 100 favorite games.
Yeah, that game sucks.
It's really bad. Yeah, I jump around in those giraffe heads. It's not fun. Yeah. So I did my top 67 because that was how many I came up with for that list. But
you couldn't have thought of two more, dude?
I could have.
Come on, Jared.
I get it.
So I wrote it up as I used Twine, which is a very simple game/interactive fiction creation tool, and I wrote it as a video game. And so I drew little graphics for it, and you can go into this day and play through my, like, a journey through my 67 favorite video games. Mm-hmm. There's achievements, or there's trophies, and you can earn trophies. There's hidden secrets in the game. You can die in the game, and you could try to find all my favorite games.
So you made a video game about your favorite video games?
Yeah.
Man, yeah. That's...
I'm generally, like, pretty good at, like, kind of getting an understanding of people.
Yeah.
And I was like, I thought I kind of had you figured out. And then you dropped that, and I was like, I don't understand this dude at all.
Also,
this guy's out of his mind.
Also, Brian, I think I figured out why this project got canceled before you and I could do it.
Why?
Because instead of just writing a list of the top 10 like a normal dude, he went and made it.
Yeah, you broke the game for everybody, man.
So, yeah, sorry about that. But there was that one. Yeah. Another couple I really enjoyed. I did this very light little piece about... this very light little piece about how technologies were popular technologies were coming out of science fiction and becoming part of everyday life. It is in many ways very fluffy.
Yeah.
But I love that idea. I love the fact that IGN gives us a forum on occasion to talk about sophisticated ideas in very easily expressed, easily understood, digestible ways for people who may not have considered that before. I really enjoy, like, a lot of people hated teaching like 101 classes in college. I used to teach like 101 stuff and I loved it. I love teaching intro. I love being the first taste of something that gets somebody interested in going into a deep dive. And I think I'm pretty good at that, and I got a lot of chances to do that here. That's just one of those that came to mind. I think a final one is I eventually found out that apparently completely inadvertently
that you can't say the word inadvertently
my worshipful love of Suikoden 2 did in fact, I discovered later on, I think I can share this now, I hope so, did in fact apparently have something to do with it being re-released.
Huh.
I learned that eventually. Was not trying to influence that. I was just talking about how great the game was and how great it would be out.
You're an influencer, Jared.
Apparently I became ammunition at some point for somebody's argument that that game should come out.
Did you write a feature about it or something?
I wrote features about it. I talked about it on Beyond. Every show I was on. And sooner or later, it happened. And I did not campaign for that, but I was very happy to learn I might have had some tiny part.
Can you tell EA to make Mother 3?
He's
got to get John Madden at that plane
first. I can
neither
confirm nor deny anything regarding that question.
Jared, I wanted to piggyback on something real quick that you were talking about.
Piggy tail.
You did something really cool here that I don't think a lot of people do day-to-day in their own jobs, let alone even here at IGN. You got hired as a Wiki Guides guy, but you said, I want to try my hand at making every single type of content that IGN makes. And you took a preview for, I feel like it was like Donkey Kong Country Returns. Was that your first preview?
That was my first written preview piece. Yeah.
And then you did a review for a game. Mm-hmm. And then you started writing features. You did podcasts. You hosted videos. You basically said, I want to try my hand at every single thing that's mm-hmm. possible to be created at IGN. And you did them all. And I think that's like excellent advice, not only for people working in whatever job you're doing now. I don't mean just like start doing stuff that somebody else's job is at work. But like have an understanding of how things go together. And if you're a freelancer, more than ever, look at what Jared has done mm-hmm. and look at what people like Jared can do and say to yourself, like, yeah, I you know, I'm a freelancer, I just write features. Don't do that. Like, don't shoehorn yourself into just those things. Don't piggy-tail yourself into just those things. Write previews, write news stories, write reviews, like write outside of your comfort zone.
I'd forgotten that I ever told you that, but that was one of my goals coming in, was to try to do everything at least once.
Well, I remember and how I excited think I, you were.
And I think I pretty much did.
Yeah.
I've done almost everything we do here now at least one time and often many more.
Including quitting.
That too. Yeah, but thanks. And he's right. It's so much fun. Plus, learning what other people around you are doing, learning a little bit about their job, mm-hmm. man, it makes working with them like so much more of an engaging and rewarding experience.
End of the day, like even if you're not, maybe if you're like a janitor at a hospital, like going around and trying to do everybody else's job there could probably murder somebody. So don't do that. But like, you know, ask questions, like learn stuff. Like working a place can be a learning experience. And if your job sucks, at least you're passing the time by, you know, finding out new things. Timothy Ralph Wisenhunt said, what are your favorite games not released in the U.S.?
Oh, mm-hmm. man, there's some several good ones there.
We're going to be here for like...
Yeah, we could be here for a while. This could be a long list. don't worry, I didn't write about that. I mentioned... no, that was on another show. Crisis Force, which is a shooter for the Famicom. I really enjoy it. Also, Recca Summer Carnival, which was released in the NES... Or released in the U.S. a few years ago on Virtual Console. It's a lot of fun.
That's a shmup.
Yeah, they're both shmups. Crisis Force.
That was the weirdest
shmup.
No, because when that game came to Virtual Console, I played it. And I'm like, this is not a Summer Carnival at all.
So they would have these events called Summer Carnivals in Japan that were like competitions for shooters.
The competitions between an alien and a ship.
Well, and that was the cartridge that was made for the... No, people would compete to be the best of the shooter.
Oh.
That cartridge was made for that event. That's why they called it that.
What are we going to do when you leave?
Crisis
Force. No one else has this information.
Yeah, it's a Konami shooter that's like, kind of like a sequel to Life Force.
Yeah, which is why really I love good. It, because Life Force is one of my all-time favorite jams.
Yeah, exactly. I love... I love Kid Dracula. I really like, these are all Famicom games. Gimmick. I love Gimmick. Thank you, Frank Cifaldi, for introducing me to Gimmick, which is a fantastic Famicom game. A lot of PC Engine games that never came to America or that only came recently through things like Virtual Console. I really do love Rondo of Blood, even though that's kind of a...
Rondo of Blood sucks.
Really? You don't like Rondo?
I don't like it.
No. I like Rondo.
I love Rondo.
What's your problem with Rondo of Blood?
No, Rondo, he slept my ex.
I like it's like one of the it's like a sequel to legit old school Castlevanias.
Yeah, but it's not good.
It's wonderful.
It is. No, it's not. Oh, it is. You got to get better at it.
Yeah, right. just get Maria and then get good. You'll be right.
You're not good I at like games. You didn't even know how to
Bubble
run
Bobble
Captain
2
Toad.
Until I figured out it didn't have two player. Then I was really sad. I was going to say Windjammers, which hasn't been around since Neo Geo, but now it's coming back around. So actually,
Mother 3.
Thing.
You haven't said Mother 3 yet.
I do love Mother 3 deeply.
Okay, you got two more.
Mother 3 very deeply. That's a marvelous game. Here's one I regret. Bubble Symphony has a lot of problems, but I really like it.
Let's start with the name.
What's that?
Start with the name.
Bubble Symphony is a sequel to Bubble Bobble for the Sega Saturn.
What? I didn't know about this.
It is, and it is
it's one of my all-time favorite jams.
Okay, so yeah, Bubble Symphony is really fun. Really groovy music, beautiful graphics. Uh-huh. It's a wonderful, wonderful game.
Is it still about two dinosaur boys who get their wives kidnapped?
It's still about two dinosaurs.
And have to fight sharks by eating pretzels?
I talked about Bubble Bobble 2 earlier, but the problem is it's only one player. It has two player, but it's alternating. So
if you were still around, we should launch Bubble Bobcast, which is our weekly Bubble Bobble podcast.
Also, Bubble Bobble 2, I kid you not, features the Xenomorph from Aliens riding a motorcycle in a boss fight.
Shut it down.
That's in a crazy mode. But yeah, Bubble Symphony, wonderful. And then finally, I mean, this is one of the easiest ones. Saturn Shooter. You can go for all the obscure stuff. But yeah, Radiant Silver Gun, which finally came to XBLA. So I guess technically that's US now. So then I'm going to say Seikyo Gurantai or Dodonpachi, which are also Saturn shooters.
I thought you said Saturn Shooter was the name of the game.
Thunder Force 5. I think it actually came to America.
No, no, no.
Actually.
That's enough. You went to 11 there. Stop.
I did. Pop Full Mail.
Just stop.
How to Full Mail?
Pop Full Mail.
Okay. Philip Brow, Meister Morgan. Who are these long-winded Morgan
Brow
boys?
Browmeister, he's a beerman.
All right. With The Last of Us Part 2 being revealed, there are many story theories floating about, but not much talk about gameplay. What new gameplay features would you like to see? Personally, I would like an element I noticed in Left Behind where you could hide and actually play off the infected against human bad guys and make them kill each other while sitting back.
Yeah, I love that.
All the best, Jared. You'll be missed.
Okay, when I read Left Behind, I just saw the Nicolas Cage movie in my head first.
It's definitely about that. Definitely like, not about The Last of Us DLC.
That would be very strange.
I hope Ellie's learned to swim in the 5 years in between these games. Yeah, because if I need to pull another pallet across a body of water,
if you learn how to play guitar
cry.
And you get a tattoo in like a world that's basically made of tetanus and you don't know how to swim, like what's wrong with you?
My fear is that so many people have made that can't swim joke that a third of that game is going to be underwater now.
I was going to dive in for the bubbles and
it's
going to
be like, this is what you wanted, isn't it? And I'm like, no, I don't want most of this game underwater. I want a lot more customization with weapon stuff. I really love where they were getting with a lot of that stuff.
Like crafting and stuff.
Like crafting is super cool to me. I think that's awesome. Like the sort of like foraging and gathering parts of like that game where you're in houses. Like I want that times five. Like bring it to a Minecraft element. Like almost to the point where like you need to look up a wiki to figure out how to make like a certain type of thing. I don't mean like ridiculous like the way Dead Rising does it, but I think there's a way to sort of like walk that balance between Minecraft and what The Last of Us does right now.
I'd like to see no more bottles, no more bricks, completely redone stealth elements that take a different approach. Maybe something closer to Hitman's hiding in plain sight kind of stealth gameplay. I'd love to see him just completely surprise us and it play nothing like the first one.
Yeah,
pretty cool.
I think did you see like the way the first one played where like Ellie would just get up and run in front of a bunch of people and they'd be like they didn't see her.
Yeah.
I want them to fix that. Like it's not like it's good that she doesn't get caught gameplay wise. I don't think keep restarting the mission, but like it totally broke immersion for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I get that.
I don't want an open world game, but I would like it if it was a little bit wider. There were some kind of areas that were wide, but there was also a lot of like corridor stuff and you're like, oh, I'm in the I'm not in the woods. Never mind.
As much as I love Joel and Ellie, I think a lot of the things I remember about the first Last of Us were sort of the small glimpses we got into other people's lives and how they were dealing with the fallout of this. And I think it'd be cool to sort of broaden that even a little bit.
I love that idea.
Yeah. I also want to be able to play as the giraffe.
Yes, that would be
spoilers.
Cool. Also, kart racing. Nino Masuki says, are any of you guys big snackers while gaming? And if so, what? I like chips, so obviously my controllers are disgusting. This is a great internet statement.
Max and I were laughing at this question before, and I was like, I got to put this in the show.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I don't eat while playing video games.
Ooh, at all?
Separation of church and state.
The only time I do it is at work when I'm at my desk and I'm working through lunch, in which case, even then, usually I put down the controller, wolf the food down in like 5 minutes, and go back to playing. I don't like getting gross stuff on my controller, and I eat like a churl, like I'm just a freaking barbarian.
Who's
and
that?
So,
who was that man?
And so,
trying to say squirrel?
No, a churl's like
Cheryl?
Are you mispronouncing the word churro?
No, churl.
Churl? Is that like a Chinese
squirrel? Churl. No, it's none of those things.
How about we stop guessing? He's asked what a churl.
No, it's like an unsophisticated person.
Oh,
like a
mess.
Like
I'm a total mess. Like I eat my lunch and I'm like wearing it. So I put the controller down. I get it all over me, gross. Then I like bathe my body in paper towels and then I play the game some more.
Wow, you would love showers.
I'm really glad over the last 3 years I haven't witnessed any of this.
I know.
Yeah, I eat a lot while I'm just playing video games. I'm like, I'm not super messy, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm sure my controllers are disgusting just on the basis that they're a thing that'll hold for hours on end, you know? Mm-hmm. There's probably all kinds of
mine a lot. I use a lot of like those what do they call them? There's like that plastic tube with like disfectant rags and they always get stuck at the bottom.
Yeah, I don't like that. Or if you accidentally leave it open to dry out and you just got a bunch of dumb cloth.
Yeah, it's like you can also just take a paper clip or like a nail scissors or whatever and go around the edge and get all that disgusting.
Get that gunk out.
I remember back when I first got my Wii back in 2006, I would record episodes of Aqua Teen on my TiVo because they're 11 minutes long. And I would save them specifically for like long Saturdays where I was playing through Twilight Princess. And then I'd like stop because it was time to eat, put on an episode of Aqua Teen, eat a sandwich. And that was about 11 minutes, and then get right back to the game. And that's what they're there for.
I love Cheddar Goldfish. I think about them almost every day.
Oh, they are so
good. Probably like, I would say probably 4 out of 5 days a week, I get off the train and I walk by Walgreens. I'm like, I'm going to go in there and get some Cheddar Goldfish. And I keep walking. I go right by it. But I don't have that kind of self-control. Like, if you gave me Cheddar Goldfish right now, I'd eat the whole bag. Like, I don't even need a video game there.
What about those cartons they come in? Do you ever just take them?
Those like milk cartons?
Yeah, the milk cartons full of Cheddar Goldfish. Yeah, incredible.
And there's like missing fish on the back of it.
Yeah.
Have you seen this fish? Yes, I have, sir. He's in my mouth.
Also, I don't think I eat a lot. I just do a good drink.
We definitely do a lot of drinking.
Well. Yeah. We drink a lot of vodka while playing video games.
I'll go on some kettle chips. I like a nice kettle chip. Ooh. If I'm generally try to watch what I eat and not snack too much. But like, if I'm gonna, you know, cut loose, I'll get some nice jalapeno kettle chips and get in there. Get my hands all filthy.
I was stress eating like crazy when I first started Bloodborne, and I read this thing online like about a couple weeks after I started this, where there were people who were doing like push ups every time they died in Bloodborne because Bloodborne has like had 60-second load times when it launched.
That's pretty good.
So I would like die and then just get up and go in the other room, eat a whole half a bag of like cheddar goldfish and go back, sit down, play again. Some ugly ass horse mutant monster would chop off my leg and run back out, eat the rest of the cheddar goldfish.
Also, you're really gunning for that sponsor.
Cheddar goldfish? I love cheddar goldfish. The fish, you can taste.
You
what? The cheese that goes.
There's
sploosh.
A future in marketing for you, Brian. It's I don't drink alcohol when I'm playing video games very much because it impedes my proficiency. Like I get.
Shut up, nerd. There's a pyramid there.
Oh yeah,
that's what you have to understand. There's a pyramid when it comes to alcohol.
Yeah.
And when you're going up to the top of it's getting better and better. Yeah. And you get to that peak, that pyramid, the zenith, and you are great.
I'm great at everything. Yeah.
But then you start sliding down the side of the pyramid, and that horse cuts off all your body parts.
Yeah. Also, you can play a game that's not hard, you know, like you play a game where you're just having a good time.
I can set that
bear on fire in Far Cry, watch it run around, do some stuff.
Well, I mean, that's always a fun thing, but that's a good IGN video. I mean, when you do that, you want to hit that capture button, take it back to work, be like, hey, I made this cool thing happen, make a video out of it.
Shut up. Yeah. You don't work here anymore. We don't have to do that.
Turn it off.
Saul in Alaska says, can I get a huge beyond from Jared one last time as an IGN employee?
Beyond!
There you go.
That's good. That's
Jared, we're gonna miss the fuck out of you, man.
Oh, I'm gonna miss you guys so much. You were every person sitting at this table is I'm sorry. Very much responsible for. I'm saying bad word, not good.
Anything's better than churl.
don't ever say that word. Don't believe that word churl, whatever that was.
Everybody at this table has gone out of their way to make my career here better. You all opened different and very, very helpful doors for me, and you all taught me things, very specific lessons that I will treasure for the rest of my life and never forget being given. Every person here in this room has made my life more meaningful and happier and richer, and you did that at cost. You did that in effort. You didn't do it because it was easy. You did it because you were kind and good at what you do. I will not ever cease to be humbled and grateful for that reality. And as for our audience, some of them I met, a lot of them I never will. But it's extraordinary that so many people find time out of their day to engage, to ask questions, to tell me what they think about something, to share their passions and their loves and enthusiasm. Well, most human beings never get this, never get this opportunity. I will not forget how lucky I am. And I thank you for it. And I promise to take it with me for the rest of my life and do as much good with the gifts you've given me as I can.
We want all of them back.
Finding more weird sunglasses or old strategy guides in your trash pile of a desk. Like, please, you know.
Jared, we love you so much.
Yeah. I got to give your Boba Fett comic back.
Yeah. Did you read it?
Yeah.
It's a pretty good one, huh?
To get out of that hole.
Yeah, he goes on all kinds of adventures.
They try to find that child who accidentally swallowed it and choked on his rocket and he went and beat him up.
Jared, you're a wonderfully kind man, and it's been a pleasure working with you, and you're not dying. You're just going to another place. If you guys want to keep track of Jared, he's Petty Comma Jared. Petty Comma Jared on Twitter. So keep track of the dude. And you know,
and if you haven't checked out Pockets Full of Soup, check it out. Yeah. It's a one-on-one interview show that Jared does that all of us have been on it. Yep. Greg and Colin have been on it. Andrew and Alana have been on it.
I think I'm coming back soon. Right?
You are coming back soon. Yeah, we've interviewed a lot of people from the IGN family, from you know, folks over at Kinda Funny, Comedy Button, places like that. But we're branching it out quite a bit now, and talking with people from other vocations.
I've got like pretty, GameSpot and Kotaku?
Yes, but also things like, you know, say painters and musicians and actors and, you know, and people. And hopefully that'll continue to grow. And we do a thing called A Pretty Good Day, which we're just getting off the ground, which is about the best days of our lives and those stories. Ooh. And it's fun. Yeah, we're shooting for kind of grounded optimism, like grounded positivity. I don't want this to be saccharine and fake.
Good.
You can't do that. Life sucks a lot of the time. Yeah. And we're not going to deny that. But we're also going to talk about the parts that don't along with the ones that do. And yeah, and if you – I mean – I'm completely supported by the donations of fans in the community. So if you want to give money to that, I'm at Patreon. It's patreon.com/JaredPetty. And it really, really helps. It's the difference between me making it and not making it in my life recently. And it's people came through, man.
Ooh. Jared, speaking of that community, I wanted to ask you one last quick question. Obviously, you. How many years were you here at IGN?
Three and a half. Yeah, and then freelance before that, of course.
Obviously, it's like we won't be able to just replace you easily. But people do break into this industry, and they do work at they do get jobs at IGN. It's a dream job. It's changed my life. It's changed the lives of everybody at this table, everybody in this building. What's your advice for somebody who wants to get into the games industry, or wants to get into IGN?
Okay, I got a few things to go there. One, have a job in mind, and then prepare yourself for that job. Look at the last job posting for that position, and get jobs doing wherever you live, doing all the things that are listed on that job listing. I stole this from Sam Claiborne, but that's how he got a job here. He looked at job postings here, and then he just kept learning all the skills that were on that posting until he could check them all off. And when he could, he applied and he got the job because he was qualified for everything they were asking for that position. So know what you want to do. Don't tell us what you want to do. Actually do it and show us. Mm-hmm. Get lots of practice. Build a portfolio of written work, of visual work, of film. Learn to edit video. Learn some camera if you can. Practice in front of a video. And don't do exactly the same thing everyone else does. You know, it doesn't have to be kind of a, hey, guys. You know, I've done it too. I'm guilty of it. But just keep it concise and palatable and good. Make something. Put it out there. Take a look at it. Show it to people you trust. Listen to those smart people. Hear their criticism and improve. Go back and do it again and make it better. And just keep making it better. And make the kinds of things that we make and do them in a smart, good, clean way. Put them together. And when you've got that portfolio constructed of things you're really proud of, get them in front of somebody here. At the time, you know they're looking for someone. And there's a very good chance you're going to get noticed. Make your cover letters concise and congenial and professional.
Yep. Don't print it on a cake because people will just eat the cake and then they won't know how to email you.
It's
a real thing.
It's a good cake.
And do connect here, but you know, don't. It's okay to meet people here at the events and be like, hey, you know, and ask for advice. That's all right. Nobody's hurt by that. We don't get tired of hearing people say, how do I break into this? We were there ourselves at one point. Also understand something very important, and I hate saying this part. There are more people who are capable of doing the jobs that we do than there are jobs that we do. You can do everything right and not get a job doing this. You really can. You can be good enough and not make it. You need to know that. You need to know the risk you're taking. You need to understand that this dream is something that you may not achieve despite doing everything right. Mm-hmm. And you need to realize that before you start.
It's kind of the inverse of it's a dirty job, but somebody's got to do it. It's kind of like it's a really fun job, so everybody wants to do it.
Exactly.
So, yeah. On that note, Jared, we love you. Thank you so much for joining us. And
thank you. Thank you, Max. Yeah. And thank you, Brian. Thank you, Marty. And again, I want to thank Alana and Andrew also.
You don't have been to do that.
They're not here. And I'd be remiss not to mention Greg and Colin, who first brought me onto the show. It's one of the very first things I did outside of Wikis at IGN, and it was pathfinding for me. And I'll never cease to be grateful.
Like I said, Jared's on Twitter. He's Petty Comma Jared. I'm Max Scoville. Brian is Agent Bizzle, and Marty is McBiggities with two G's and two T's.
I'm actually changing it to Charles. Also, that's the last piece of advice. Don't use that word.
Don't use Churl? The word
Churl. Yeah. Churl is the name of a character in a novel. I'm going to finish
someday. Stop all
the recording
stuff
now.
We're going to just end the show, and that's it. That's the end of the show. We'll be back next week. I think we're going to get drunk or something and talk about Christmas and how it's fun or whatever. But, from us beyond to you, we love you and, have a good one. Beyond.
Beyond.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for Dungeon Masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.